It is again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra.
What we must have is a new American dream. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. A new American dream. Not of homes and toasters, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. The new America, the real hope of the world.
Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink. And listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed the sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed up to the sun till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. And our friends are all on board. Many more of them live next door. And the band begins to play. Ba-da-rum-ba-dum-ba-da, we all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. As we live a life of ease, every one of us has all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. Thanks, Lorraine, for joining me on that one. Now, we didn't have any particular reason to sing that song. Nothing that ties it to recent events or tonight's show or any of that. We just felt like channeling the Beatles tonight. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we're streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We're glad you chose to join us tonight, and we hope you'll be back each and every week right here on Revolution Radio. Remember, the station has lots of great shows, and they deserve your support in keeping them on the air. Why not head over to freedomslips.com right now and make a donation? And mention Mike and me when you do it. We have a new American dream. We dream of making America better, of making the world better. We know it's possible for people to live in peace with one another, to love rather than hate, to help each other instead of hurting each other. We believe that change starts inside each one of us and spreads from person to person, city to city, country to country, until the whole world is a better place. And that's why we do this show week after week, every Thursday since February 2011. And I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Chuck, kindly welcome a special guest, Larry Pinkney, Phil Ferruggio, M.K. Davis, Samuel A. Love, and Frank Cordero. M.K. Davis has been researching the Patterson Sasquatch film for 18 years. M.K. has trekked the Bluff Creek drainage of Northern California on many occasions. The Patterson film continues to yield vital data that may one day lead to a more complete understanding of what is it that is on the film and what it means to all of us. Samuel A. Love is a co-founder of 219 Might, the mass incarceration and GO Hall team, which formed in 2013 to fight a proposed for-profit prison in Hobart, Indiana. He was also involved in the TAMS Year 10 coalition, which successfully shuttered the controversial Supermax prison in southern Illinois. He started organizing in Gary, Indiana in 2009 with the Central District Organizing Project. He is proud to call Gary his home and is involved in many artistic, ecological, and educational endeavors in the Steel City. Larry Pinkney contributed the foreword to the new book by Cindy Sheehan, The Obama Files. He's a veteran of the Black Panther Party and former political prisoner. Pinkney is a former university instructor of political science and international relations. Phil Ferruggio is a writer and activist, a semi-retired baby boomer born and bred in blue-collar Brooklyn, New York City. He is the son and grandson of Brooklyn longshoreman and educated at free tuition Brooklyn College, class of 74. His work is found on progressive sites all around the internet. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He's a former Catholic priest. He has spent over 6 years in federal prison because of various actions in protest of the U.S. military machine. And so tonight, we're gathering for the New American Dream radio show in Benton, Mississippi, Port Orange, Florida, Gary, Indiana, Minneapolis, Des Moines, Fort Lauderdale, Saginaw, and wherever you are. This just came from Karl Rove. We're an empire now. When we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do. The CIA director, Mossad, Israeli Intelligence and Covert Operations, MI6, British Secret Intelligence, met with French security chief 2 weeks ago, and thus, we the people have obvious reasons to challenge the Paris terror as a 1% false flag attack, including game-changing histories of creating ISIS, supplying them unusual use of false flag attacks to sell the 99.99% an offensive war, this time on Syria. Find the rest of that by Carl Herman at washingtonsblog.com. And this just in, a drone bomb piloted from Fort Huachuca has hit a fat farm in New Jersey and taken out many of the key leaders of the American CIA. Film at 11 with Lester Holt. And now, available, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It's the third book in a series by CWG Press and Moonrock Books. The first book was The Dynamic Duel, White Rose Blooms in Wisconsin. It's a biography of Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett. The second was, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either. And now the third book in this series is available, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, like 9/11, the Boston bombing, and dozens of these other scam events the United States government has perpetrated on the American public for who knows what reason, but it's time to stop now. This new book stops it right now. To order, Amazon.com. And now we have an exclusive New American Dream report from Chief Inspector Jacques Clouseau on the Paris attacks. Inspector Clouseau.
How believable is it that Muslim terrorists take their ire out on innocents when the President of France himself, who has sent military forces to murder Muslims, was sitting at the attack stadium and could easily have been eliminated by a suicide bomber? Now, let us turn to questions of identification of the alleged Paris terrorists. Is it realistic to suppose that millions of refugees from Washington and its European vassals' wars in the Middle East have passports? Were these millions of refugees expecting to be driven by white civilization bomb out of their country, and thus have prepared themselves with passports in order to flee? Did they write on their passport application they were going to be visiting Europe? was the beleaguered country, their homeland, under full military assault, able to process all the millions of passports. What sort of dumb shit Western media goes along with the passport story? A media well-paid lie for Washington's hegemony and crime. One final question for skeptics. Where are the photographs of the terrorists during the terrorizing surrounding the scenes of violence? There were not only abundant security cameras, but hundreds, even thousands of people with cell phones and a camera. With all these photos, how is it possible the authorities do not know some terrorists escaped? If so, who they are, what they look like. Why are the authorities relying on fake passports for photos of terrorists? Terrorism has been unleashed in the Western world. It's the terrorism of West.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride, and they can bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
No.
I'm sorry you're having
come on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, if anyone's out there, this is Chuck Gregory in the New American Dream Radio Show. We understand we've been having some technical difficulties, and we're trying to get ourselves reconnected right now. I'm about to call up my co-host, Mike Palachuk. I'm not quite sure how long we were having these difficulties, but we just got a... We just got something, message, and anyway, we're going back. Okay. Mike, I hope we're back on the air. I'm not sure. Mike? Hello? Boy, nothing. We do apologize for, if there's anybody, if we're really on the air, we really do apologize, folks. We're trying to get everything back up and running. Mike, are you back? Oh.
Hello?
Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm still not sure if we're on the air or not, but let's just keep going. Shall I jump to Frank?
Trying to think here how we should do this because we got to get to. I just got a few paragraphs just in case
we were
on the air. On May 18th, this is about Larry Rosebaugh again. On May 18th, 2009, Larry was driving a vehicle in Guatemala with other oblates as passengers and was killed in an armed robbery. Lorenzo Rosebaugh was shot and died on the roadway in the Iscon region of northern Guatemala in what appeared to be a carjacking robbery by two armed attackers. But could have been an intentional political killing. It is hard to know in Guatemala today, where economic and political conditions are so desperate, that both criminal violence and political killings are common. This has been the New American Dream Real History Channel, sponsored by Artifact. Ripped up jeans, they look really, really old and out of date, but they are not. Not really. And Chuck, we'll go into Frank Cordero, and we're just going to have to go into some of the time of our next guest, but we'll just do the best we can. Our next will be Frank Cordero on Sunday, July 16th. Frank Cordero spoke at the Presbyterian Church in Centerville, Iowa. His theme is the gospel of nonviolence and the recent Paris attacks. And what we'll do is we'll be joining this sermon already in progress.
Was Logan, Iowa, and we had the head banker there. And I said to him, you know, this is, I don't know how to give it to you because your business couldn't run on this ethic. It's a bit of an overstatement, maybe not. And then it goes on to say, you heard about this thing about love your neighbors, hate your enemies? That's wrong, too. You gotta love your enemies. Look, when I was in high school, I was a true believer. I was a baby boomer. I was a believer in the Vietnam War. I believed the whole thing. I went to college. And I'm a Catholic, and I read the New Testament for the first time. Back then, that was strange. Catholics didn't read the scriptures. Some of you older folks can remember that. We only had the priest to interpret to us. And I was just blown away by the radical Jesus I met in college. The one I just picked up the book. I read the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I said to myself, my God, this guy's really giving it to the system, wants us to be serious about pacifism and love and take it to the cross and take it to the poor. That's how I read it. And that's completely opposite the way I read it than most Christian churches are doing it. That was in 1976. And I said to myself through this whole journey in my life, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And it's taken me to the priesthood and out of the priesthood in the Catholic Church. It's got me in trouble with both church and state. I've done close to 6 years of jail time for protesting. Fast wine. 1998. That's almost 25 years ago, folks. Before 9/11. As part of a plowshares action. Beat your swords into plowshares, the first reading from Isaiah. There's this action from a lot of the Catholic left people, the people that the church tries to ignore in this country, and we're all part of the Methodist crazy people and the Presbyterian crazy people. I live with Reverend Bob Cook. We're part of the growing kind of radical Christian fringe crowd, taking Jesus seriously and beating a B-52 bomber in 1998 was my christening into the plowshares movement on a tarmac at Andrews Air Force Base at an air show. This country was having an air show and showing off our weapons of mass destruction. And we put a couple hammer blows on the side of a B-52 bomber in front of thousands and were arrested quickly. And I did 6 months for that. And back then, 1998, I knew that what Martin Luther King said in 1968, that the United States is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. And it hadn't dissipated in 68. It just has gotten ramped up in 98. And now we're here. And this message of love your enemy is just as much a hard sell as it ever has been. And the problem with preaching love your enemy in the United States of America this Sunday morning is because most people who go to our churches and the preachers who are preaching will tell people that the biggest threat to world peace is ISIS. 5% of the world, US, believes ISIS is the biggest threat of the world peace. And the vast majority of the rest of the human race believes the USA is the biggest threat to world peace. And they don't like ISIS either. Our problem is we cannot imagine that we are the center of the problem. No sin is unforgivable except the sin of denial. Because if you don't own up to what you're doing, you're going to keep making the same mistake. And if this is 9/11 too, God help us all. And I hope this time through, Christians will find their voice in this country and realize God is not pro-war, pro-rich, or necessarily pro-USA.
Chuck.
Okay,
I'm Frank Cordero at Presbyterian Church in Centerville, Iowa. Our
Chuck, should we go to our next guest of the evening since we're kind of going off script here?
Yeah, I think that's probably best, Mike, because we want to...
Our next guest of the evening is Samuel Love. Samuel is filling in tonight for Anthony Leeson. And Chuck, Samuel will come to us from Gary, Indiana. And Chuck will get Samuel on the line right about now.
Hey, Chuck.
Well, hello, Samuel. We're running a little bit later than we planned, and so you're going to have
no problem.
Little less time. So
that's okay.
But I'm just take it and go.
Sure. You ready?
Go for it.
Hey, everybody. My name's Sam Love. I'm with a group called 219 Might. That stands for the Mass Incarceration and Geo Halt Team. The 219 stands for the area code of where I reside, which is Northwest Indiana, particularly the city of Gary, Indiana. So Might formed 2 years ago when it became public that the GEO group had opened or had purchased some property rather secretly in Hobart, Indiana, which is next door to us. And we're planning to open a long-awaited for-profit immigration detention center, as they call it. We know that's a euphemism, of course, for a for-profit prison. A similar measure had been defeated in 2011 in Crete, Illinois, and again a bit later in Joliet, Illinois. I had been involved in a very, very, very small minor role in Crete and had gotten to know a lot of the particular activists and became far more conscious of the threat that these for-profit prisons play on all of us. So, in a sense, I was a bit prepared for this thing to happen down here in the region in Northwest Indiana, because it was known that ICE wants to locate an immigration detention prison somewhere within about an hour and a half of their downtown Chicago Loop offices. Well, Northwest Indiana, even though we're not part of Illinois, we're Indiana, we're part of that Chicagoland area, and sometimes we're a bit of an afterthought. So I think the feds, and I think these monstrous corporations thought we were probably some kind of pushover down here, so they moved their attempts from Illinois over into Indiana. So we were prepared for this. That struggle in Hobart is still ongoing, and the activists there are still very active because GEO actually owns the property. And in this case, they've been terrible stewards of the land. There's been an arson at the site, and a meth lab was discovered earlier in the fall. So this has become a real nuisance for the city of Hobart and for Gary as well. When we founded Might, we were pretty sure that the GEO group, or perhaps their competitor, CCA, would attempt to try this in Gary. So we used Hobart as a place to start raising consciousness beyond just the little town of Hobart, but for all of Northwest Indiana. And it was quite a struggle to get that to happen. But in the end, I think we achieved something, because sure enough, at the beginning of this month, the GEO group announced their plans to locate this prison in Gary, Indiana. And the mayor, Karen Freeman Wilson, came out very favorably about this. She cynically said that she could anticipate a few human rights activists protesting this. Well, she got more than she thought, because in 2 weeks' time, she formally flip-flopped her stance and came out against locating this prison in Gary, effectively nullifying the threat here. I'd like to say a few words, if I could, about the nature of the struggle that arose in Gary, because it was the best community organizing I've ever been a part of. And I think it was a beautiful thing that helped our city turn a corner, and I think the people of Gary have sent a very powerful message about what our city is, what we will accept, and what we will not. If anyone out there listening knows anything about Gary, it's probably not necessarily a positive thing that they're aware of when they think of Gary, Indiana. It tends to be seen as a broken down city, tens of thousands, well, 12,000 abandoned buildings, highest murder rates in the country. And there is great reality to that. But there's also been a very extensive core of activists who have been very committed and organized in this community. I became part of this in 2009 myself when I started working with the Central District Organizing Project. And I really do believe that a lot of those connections made then is what enabled us to defeat Geo so quickly and Gary. I think a great deal of the credit for sparking and ending this fight has to go to Black Lives Matter's Northwest Indiana Gary. When Mike got the news that this was made public, we immediately contacted that organization. In a sense, we kind of crashed their meeting and made it ours, and we thanked them for that. And very quickly, we were able to harness a coalition of 80 people in 3 days' time to come to a public meeting. Nobody in that room wanted this. Everybody in the room spoke very intelligently of the multitude of reasons why this should not happen. And we went into action. I myself feel like I was on the phone or emailing or texting for about 7 days straight. I don't think I got more than a few hours of sleep at any given time. There are always emails to respond to. That's the stuff about community organizing that I think a lot of people are unaware of. And I think it's that nitty-gritty stuff that ends up winning campaigns and building stronger communities. Our press initially was not all that favorable. In Hobart, 2 years ago, the press was quite generous to us, often taking our frames. In Gary, it was very difficult to overcome the city of, well, you're such a poor place. This is a boon for you, particularly with the jobs issue. But what I noticed being on social media, hearing people's conversations and reading the newspapers, it really seemed like the only people who were in favor of this idea was the mayor and some of her followers. And I noticed a lot of guys from the suburbs, people who don't live in Gary, but think they know what's best for us here. Grassroots on the level of the people who live and work in Gary, Indiana, and struggle, they knew that this claim of jobs was false. They knew that these claims of fair treatment of the detainees was merely cynical. And they were ready to act on it. And that's indeed what happened. 40 people attended an airport board meeting a few days after our initial public meeting. All of them registering complaints, even though the meeting's agenda had nothing to do with the prison. This garnered favorable press. And then the following day, at a meeting of the Gary Board of Zoning Appeals, there was a packed house. A representative from GEO was in the room. As he began to speak, the people began to boo and hiss, and the man's shoulders sunk in, his chest sunk down. He looked very small and timid. He was asking for the BZA to defer the matter. They hadn't had enough time to prepare their case, though they'll come into our city. The board, of which there were only a handful of members there, enough for a quorum, but not a full group, agreed to the withdrawal. No, I'm sorry, not the withdrawal, but the deferral. And immediately the packed house of probably 100 people began to boo and hiss and scream and holler. We caught it on videotape, and folks can go to facebook.com/219Mike.
Well, that music means that it's the end of this half-hour segment, but we'd like to thank you again, Samuel A. Love, for joining us on the show tonight.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No.
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer, long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out.
Not me.
Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. with your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now from Port Orange, Florida, we stopped at World News Trust, Intrepid Report, Truth Out, Information Clearinghouse, and countless others. Here's Phil Ferrugia with It's the Empire, Stupid!
Okay. Okay, good evening, we're working stiffs. Before I get to my commentary tonight, let's talk about the Paris attacks quickly. Sadly, you know, ISIL would never have ever come into existence if not for the United States, our country's illegal and preemptive invasions and occupations of Iraq and Afghanistan. They served as a recruiting tool for the fanatical Islamist movement, which we all know, if we have any understanding of history, has always been a minor segment of the Muslim thought process, of the Muslim mindset. So just keep that in mind when you see the mainstream media hitting at us with this. Okay, cartoon America. Our nation has become a cartoon. One surmises that those entire kiddie shows, which each Sunday morning serve a purpose, they get the youngsters acclimated to cartoon America. You see, the masters of this empire have set things up so shrewdly for generations. Their best coup d'etat was only allowing us the choice of the two-party, one-party system of politics. As Ralph Nader so succinctly put it, the choice between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Tune in the BoobTube and watch the cartoon channels, CNN, C-SPAN, Fox News, and MSNBC. They offer you the same Republican versus Democrat claptrap each and every day. The cartoon hosts on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, and yes, even C-SPAN always make it sound as if the two parties are at war over the hearts and minds of Americans. They throw at you issues like abortion, gay marriage, immigration, and the hottest one of all to the empire, Obamacare, which they con you into thinking is socialism. In reality, this law purposely gave away the store to the private insurance companies who got tens of millions of new customers. The real dialogue and debate should have been about a Medicare for all system versus the private health care insurance one, which Cartoon America would never allow you to see or hear. Every mainstream newspaper, website, and of course, electronic media outlet will never allow readers and viewers to understand what is really ailing America. We are an empire on steroids. More than half of our federal tax dollars go to military spending. We illegally and immorally invade and occupy sovereign nations. We send drones to destroy innocent civilians, all in the name of fighting terrorism. Yet our almost 900 foreign military bases in more than 100 different countries are never mentioned. Who the hell are we to do such things? Is this not what an empire does? Did not the Romans and the British do the same thing? What happened to their empires? What will happen to ours as our roads and bridges crumble along with our schools and libraries? More and more of our people are forced to fend for themselves in some bizarre form of Darwinism. The box store becomes the number one employer, part-time mostly, in this cartoon America. More and more of us walk around with spaces in our mouths, like I do, where teeth used to be, because who can afford the $2,500 for a root canal and crown? The young lady living next door to me works 3 part-time jobs to pay her rent and bills. When will we all reach the Rubicon? Take the first step, dear neighbors. Read the alternatives offered and discussed by the writers like Chris Hedges, Dr. Michael Parenti, Noam Chomsky, Ralph Nader, William Blum. Read these men and these other women writers and journalists, and then take the second step. Realize that the key to our salvation is not in supporting or attempting to reform either of these two major political parties, like my friend Bernie Sanders is now trying to do. No, stop voting for the lesser of two evils. Vote for the independents or leave the ballot blank, but do go and vote. Ready for step 3? Get out and speak up and speak out in public about a need to pull back this military-industrial empire. We need to end all occupations, close all foreign bases, cut back on obscene overkill weapon system, and save lots of money. Transfer these savings to the states and cities for their economic survival and to kickstart real universal health care for all. Finally, don't watch or read the cartoons that they are sending your way. Mickey Mouse is dead. Thank you.
We all know things are bad. Worse than bad, they're crazy. The only truth you know is what you get over the tube. The tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. The tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. One of the largest companies in the world control the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world. Who knows what crap we peddle for truth on those networks? Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Hello, everyone. Now for your local Earth news. This is Mike Polachek and Chuck Gregory with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard.
FBI used counterterrorism authority to track pacifist human rights group for 10 years. For a decade, the FBI flagrantly abused its counterterrorism authority to conduct a widespread surveillance and monitoring operation of School of America's Watch, a nonviolent activist organization founded by pacifists, with the aim of closing the U.S. Army's School of the Americas and ending the U.S. role in the militarization of Latin America. Hundreds of pages of documents obtained by the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund on behalf of SOAW once again reveal the FBI's functioning as a political surveillance and intelligence operation and its use of its domestic terrorism authority against peaceful protest in the United States. SOAW organizes annual protests in Fort Benning, Georgia, the site where the U.S. Army has trained many of the military leaders and dictators in Latin America who are responsible for massacres of opposition forces and the creation of torture centers, among other crimes against humanity. It used confidential informants inside the movement to collect information. The FBI's headquarters and counterterrorism units were requested to provide the FBI's field office in Atlanta with all intelligence relevant to the SOA so that this information could be provided to local military law enforcement agencies. A review of 10 years of redacted documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act by the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund on behalf of the SOAW. So that year after year, the FBI acknowledged that the organizers and the activities of the group were peaceful. Documents have been made public. They're searchable. JusticeOnline.org/SOAW.
This from Kevin Barrett, just returned to Wisconsin from France. Since we now know that Charlie Hebdo attack was a Gladio II false flag by the usual suspects, NATO hardliners and Zionists, can we safely assume, make the same assumption about these new Friday the 13th Paris atrocities? I think we can. Almost every really big spectacular terror attack turns out, after extensive critical examination, to have been the usual state-sponsored false flag stuff. There is no reason to think this one will be any different. The first question is always is, who gains? And the answer is always is, authoritarian insiders, Zionists, militarists, Islamophobes, New World Order, out of chaos freaks. Speaking of which, the order out of chaos thing is going into overdrive. Between the destruction of several Middle Eastern countries, refugees flooding Europe, preparation for World War III versus Russia and China, and ongoing false flag terror, it seems the creative destruction people are staying busy. The authorities will surely use these new attacks in the same way they used Charlie Hebdo as an excuse to shut down critical thinking and dissent. They may even try to prevent me from returning to Paris on December 11th to present a paper exposing the Charlie Hebdo false flag at a mainstream academic conference. So although it's too early to say for sure, I think we can tentatively assume that this Friday the 13th massacre in Paris is just the latest in a long series of false flag spectacles. And if we let the perps get away with this one as they've gotten away with all the others, we can expect more of the same. And now a New American Dream editorial comment by New American Dream editorial commenter Ward Eldridge Cleaver.
Okay. The Nazis and others have made it very simple and clear. Fear is a control mechanism. Terrorism creates fear. And fear drives fools into the hands of the government that created the terrorism that created the fear. Go watch the movie V for Vendetta. The British government unleashes a disease outbreak and uses the resulting fear to turn Britain into a police state. Movie producers such as those who made V for Vendetta and The Matrix understand what's going on. But what percentage of the audience gets it? We've had, by my last count, 150 false FBI sting operations, that is, FBI orchestrated terror plots in which the FBI recruits half-wits to do such things as blow up the Sears Tower with fake bombs handed to them by the FBI. We've had the false flag 9/11 operation, the false flag Boston Marathon bombing, the false flag Charlie Hebdo, the false flag Paris attack. All of these false flag operations were scripted long ago by Operation Gladio, by the Northwoods Project. Use Google and read about them. And so on. The Western world consists of a tyranny in which brainwashed non-entities live in a constructed reality. Can enough of these people be rescued to make a difference? That is the question.
This has been a New American Dream editorial comment by New American Dream editorial commenter Ward Eldridge Cleaver. So that's all, folks. That's the news, and we are out of here. Good night and good luck, and so it goes. That's the way it is. You have the same page. Take it to the next level at the end of the day. Bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is, and remember, you can start the revolution today by making direct eye contact with the next policeman you meet. Our next guest for the evening is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney is a radio commenter, a writer, an activist. He's a former Black Panther member, a former political prisoner. He speaks to us each month from Minneapolis. Chuck will be getting Larry on the line right about now.
Hello, Larry Pinkney speaking.
Well, hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
All right. Great to hear from you and you, Chuck and Mike. Hope you both are well. I'll be very brief. Want to talk a little bit about what the so-called mainstream media, I call it the vomit stream media, has been playing on ever since the terrible tragedies over the Sinai with the Russian Metrojet airliner, the tragedy in Beirut and the tragedy in Paris, France. I think it's important for all of us to remember, in the words of Malcolm X, Malik al-Subaz, that what the policies of this government and its allies engage in are beginning to come back and to haunt us. Everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. You see, because we do not control those policies, that is to say, the policies of the U.S. government and its allies, just like the people in France and in other European countries really do not control the policies of their quote-unquote government. We certainly do not in this country. In fact, what we have is an avaricious, blood-sucking, corporate-controlled government that is making a great deal of money based on fear and war. And let us remember that the illegal invasion of 2003 of Iraq, U.S. invasion, has brought about and facilitated this horror that is called Daesh or ISIS or IS. We have to remember to take things back to their root. And we must also remember that if we are to change the horrible things that are happening on our planet, on Mother Earth, we're going to have to take strong political action to change the course of this government. Mr. Drone Man, Barack Obama, as I wrote in the foreword to Cindy Sheehan's book, which came out this year, and the name of the book is The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal. As I wrote in the foreword to that book, the actions that this nation, not just Obama, Obama simply facilitating, carrying on, and exacerbating a horrible policy that began years ago, but the actions that this government takes, the corporate-controlled government, boomerang. They come back on we ordinary, everyday people. That's who they come back on. And then, of course, the vomit stream, so-called corporate stream media, beats the drum of fear and war. Guess who makes money in all of this? Companies such as Lockheed Martin, Boeing, etc., etc. They make millions, indeed billions, based on the horrible actions and policies of the U.S. and its allies, quote-unquote. I don't know how to emphasize this enough. We, the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people in this nation, we have got to take control of our own government. Drone Man, as I call him, Mr. Hope and Change, Drone Man Barack Obama, NDAA signing Obama, indefinite detention Obama, is what I refer to as an empty suit that talks. That's essentially what he is. He's an empty suit that talks as a mouthpiece semi-articulate mouthpiece for the corporate interests that he represents, such as the pharmaceuticals. You might say, well, what about Obama's health plan? Obama doesn't have a health plan. We never did get single-payer health or a single-payer health system in this country, and that's because Obama took his lessons or his instructions, I should say, from the big corporations, especially the pharmaceutical corporations, when it came to so-called health care. The same applies across the board. We have got to stop living in la-la land. We've got to stop living an illusion. Neither the Democrat or Republican parties serve the interests of everyday ordinary people. We've got to come to grips with that reality, because that's the only way we can change the reality, is first by recognizing it. So I want to express my deepest condolences, to all of the people who have been touched by such horrible tragedies, as in the case of the Russian airliner, in the case of Paris, France, in the case of Beirut, and it's an endless list, as Gil Scott-Heron would say, that won't be missed. We have got to stop the policies that bring about and facilitate atrocious organizations such as Daesh, or Islamic, so-called Islamic State. And by the way, that title of Islamic State, they are certainly not Islamic, and they're certainly not a state. So let's not be bamboozled by what the mainstream or so-called mainstream media is feeding us. We have got to take the reins of power politically, socially, economically. I want to, again, though, I want to express my condolences to all of my sisters and brothers, throughout the world. By the way, Europe and the United States and the so-called Middle East are not the only places where these quote-unquote terrorist acts are taking place. In fact, in Africa alone, in Nigeria, within the last year, there have been over 6,000 people killed. But you don't hear very much about that, do you? But all of us, brothers and sisters all over the world, I express my condolences to. I was so sad when I learned of, for example, the Russian airliner that has now, it's official that it was indeed bombed. There were 224 people on that airliner. 25 of those people were children, down to even a 10-month-old baby. You know, I go back to the thing that people have been hearing more and more about, Black Lives Matter. Well, if Black Lives Matter, and they do, then all lives have to matter. And the only way all lives are going to matter is if we band together collectively to ensure that our government, which is really not our government, it does things in our name, which boomerang on us. We everyday people. So as we said back in the day, in the 60s and 70s in the Black Panther Party, all power to the people. That means people, if you don't use it, you lose it. We've got to take back the power for America, not just for America, but for people throughout Mother Earth, because America is like an octopus that has tentacles that reach all over the world. And you can see now the horror that's being experienced by people all over the world because of these terrible, atrocious policies of this government, which takes action in our name. Remember, it's being done in our name. So having said all of these things, I'd like to end on a high note by saying we still have a chance. We still have a chance, brothers and sisters, to take it back. Take it back. Take the power. If we don't use it, I guarantee you we will lose it. Let's use it. Let's get out of this police surveillance state, this corporate controlled state that we are in. Let's get out of it. Let's build a better world, a better nation, a better community. End by saying, as I always do, all power to the people, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Larry. And we look forward to hearing from you again next month.
Thank you. You take care. Both of you stay strong. Love to you all.
Oh, where have you gone, Phil Donahue? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Boo-hoo-hoo, what's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Jolton Phil has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. In this week's episode of Where Have You Gone, Phil Donahue, we hear, last year the U.S. military was running special operations in 147 countries, which represents roughly 75% of the entire planet. U.S. and NATO military operations have grown exponentially over the years as the Western nations have taken it upon themselves to police the world and use that position to their benefit at every possible opportunity. The fact that military agents have been deployed to this many different areas in just a year reveals that the U.S. empire is involved in an even deeper war than most American citizens can imagine. At which point is it safe to assume that the U.S. military is attempting to take over the world and put it under their control? If we were being honest with ourselves, we would say that they are trying to take over the world's governments and plunder their natural resources, because that's what we see happening around us. War is and always has been about conquest for plunder and power, and the many wars that we see taking place around the world today are no different. Stay tuned next week for another episode of Where Have You Gone, Phil Donahue. Oh, where have you gone, Phil Donahue? Hey.
The necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation. In survival, in gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we've been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
From Yosari and Snowden, somewhere in the Adirondacks, we hear, realizing its vulnerability, it is entirely possible that the French establishment made a decision to protect its hold on power with a false flag attack that would allow the establishment to close France's borders. Some people are so naive and stupid as to think that no government would kill its own citizens. The governments do so all the time. There are an endless number of false flag attacks, such as Operation Gladio. Operation Gladio was a CIA Italian intelligence operation that relentlessly bombed innocent Italians, such as those waiting in a train station, murdering hundreds, and then blaming the violence on the European communist parties in the post-World War II era in order to block the communists from electoral gains. The bombings were done by Italian intelligence aided by the CIA. In one of the Italian investigatory hearings, a member of Italian intelligence said that the sites to be bombed were chosen in order to maximize the deaths of women and children because these victims were most useful in discrediting the communists. Considering the Western world's long tradition of false flag orchestrations, the terrorist attack in Paris could be the most recent manifestation. Within 1 hour of the Paris attacks, and without any evidence, the story was set in stone that the perpetrator was ISIL. This is the way propaganda works. So now we have what is likely to be another false story set in stone. Don't expect any explanations or questions from the media about the story that is set in stone. Can Western peoples be intelligent to fall for a story set in stone prior to any evidence? In the West, facts are created by self-serving statements from governments. Investigation is not a part of the process. When 90% of the U.S. media is owned by six mega corporations, it cannot be any different. As the matrix grows in the absurdity of its claims, it nevertheless manages to become even more invulnerable.
A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we've been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. The only problem with the running of the nation was the girl who had lived. The family lay in the road in the gravel and dust in their own blood. The three sprawled in not human poses, arms and elbows, legs splayed out as if forced into unnatural forms by the men who made the nation. The father and mother and brother with their faces covered in blood, noses shoved into the black Iowa earth, eyes and mouths open, filled with mucus and wonder and disbelief. Just as it should be. If she died, all would be well. All would be awesome. The nation's gears growled, screamed, enormous and oiled and cleverly meshed, showing signs of human genius. They ran and never stopped. But that could not go on forever because the girl had lived and she grew stronger. Her bones and her blood would one day become stronger even than gears and oil and grease. They beat and they grew and they knew because that is what bones and blood can do. The little girl ran at first, but only for a while. She would turn and face her pursuers. Then they would become afraid because they saw the green steel in her eye. Those who ran the nation looked for her every day, all the time. The work continued. Every dawn of a new day in the nation dripped with immense possibility. The little girl was now grown. She stalked the nation, circled its campground in the night like an undiscovered wild animal. Last week, we saw Kate on the curb with her drawing pad and pencils at the official motorcade. Kate shot laser beams from the Avengers, striking down stick figure cops with badges and hats in the street, bleeding dots and dashes. She did not hear the policeman and woman with drawn weapons moving through the crowd around her. Kate pulled a green pen from her ear and made a laser beam shoot from the progressive Avengers' green eyes into the longest, blackest limousine, still walking forward. The green beam penetrated the windshield and the vehicle exploded, caught a fire, sending burning bodies in suits flying through the air. Okay, that's enough. Kate did not hear the policeman behind her. The progressive Avenger sent green rays into the other vehicles, and they exploded. Hey, you come with us. The policeman grabbed Kate under her arms and dragged her to her feet. The police gathered around. The people gathered around, cheered and clapped and pounded their feet on the sidewalk. You need to go to the free speech zone, ma'am, said the policeman. Over by the tracks. He pointed toward an area a block away where Kate could see people holding signs. The whole country is a free speech zone, Zeke, said Kate. You can't stop me from being here, said Kate. Yes, we can. The female officer moved in, took Kate by one arm. A television crew sat up on the sidewalk as the two officers began to wrestle with Kate. She fought them, trying to free her arms, leaning back against the brick building, letting the guitar case go. Some walkers stopped to watch. Let me go, Kate screamed. With her right arm, she slammed the woman in the throat, smashing her head against the brick building. Directing her attention to the male officer on her left, she was able to swing with both hands. She struck him in the face with a flurry of elbows and fists, the nose, eyes, mouth, chin. The television reporter signaled her cameraman to begin filming the fight behind them. The woman officer pulled herself from the sidewalk and climbed onto Kate's back. Kate stood up and turned, slamming her rider again into the unforgiving brick. The TV camera light shined bright in the dust. The light caught Kate full in the face. She could see on the edges the forms, shapes of a crowd, and behind it the motorcade with horns blaring, more lights flashing, flags waving. The crowd roared its approval. The woman cop wilted from Kate's back. Arms and hands from the crowd reached in toward her like ghouls. Kate snatched up her case and charged through the mass. The Live at 5 broadcast showed Kate darting, dodging, stumbling, running, getting away with her cape streaming. The next morning at the Global gas station, Jimmy Venus pulled up in his blue Ford pickup. To save fuel, he shut off the engine and let it coast into the gravel parking lot next to the red brick. Jimmy hauled out the birdcage and slammed the door twice to make it stay. By the lake from the pole in the middle of the pump island, he saw where to step up to the little walk running around the little building. Like a bookie or a racetrack aficionado or a flighty weathered ornithology instructor. He carried papers and folders in one hand and the bird cage in the other. He set the cage down to unlock the front door. An old-time wooden one with red stencil painting on the window. Global Gas Station. James Venus, proprietor, manager, owner. Jimmy put the cage on the ceiling hook and turned on the little black and white. He laid out his papers on the glass counter, which covered dozens of business cards and notes on napkins and bits of paper and racetrack tickets. He hiked himself up onto the bar stool, lit his cigar, and looked out on the light early morning traffic. He began to work the phone. We need to find her. We will find her. They remained calm. They never got away. These Illuminati, he called them, the ones who would have been witnesses in the JFK, RFK, or MLK murders, or a dozen and one others. Jack Ruby, hawk! Cried the bird, flapping its wings inside the little cage, hand-painted red, white, and blue by Jimmy's father. Someone ran over the dinger. Jimmy opened a pack of unshelled sunflower seeds under the glass counter. He stared down the driver until he drove off. He called his mother and reminded her to call his dad in the nursing home. Nah, I'll get the milk on the way home, Ma. You don't go out today. It's supposed to rain, maybe snow. Who knows? You don't need that crap. Catch a percep, squawked Bobby. Jimmy tossed a seed into his mouth and one into the cage. It might get icy, he said. He hung the phone up on the wall and climbed from his stool to the dirty tile. He pulled a cigar from the rack, took his time peeling the wrapper, lighting up. The tiny bell above the door rang as he walked outside. Jimmy conversed as he scraped the windshield. Out beyond the interstate, the cold air breath puffs in the air showed the city begin to breathe. The sun's flames touched off the lights in the offices and bars. Inside the black SUV, Jimmy saw four faces lit by the penumbra of four cigars. This particular team had been together for, 19 years, was it? Of course, there were others. On call basis, as needed, that sort of thing, like old nurses on the overnight shift. Jimmy rounded off the pump. He closed the tank and came around to the driver's side. He shrugged his shoulders when the driver nodded toward the windshield. This Kate, she's down by the bus depot, Jimmy Venus said, while pulling on his $1.50 cigar. The lights inside wagged like mechanized jack-o'-lanterns. The driver's window scrolled up. The black SUV pulled slowly away, like a cruise ship leaving the freaking harbor. Jimmy watched him, then turned to go inside and bring out some fresh window cleaning solution. Kate bought her ticket, purchased coffee from a machine. She found a corner booth, deserted, framed in plants and old newspapers, guarded by a faux wall. She sat, and the hard plastic groaned that it was too early in the morning for this freaking shit. Kate watched the McDonald's workers come in by ones and shuddered at each opening. Replacement drivers in blue uniforms, like correctional officers, came in from the garage entrance to stand by the ticket counter and smoke. The tables and booths slowly filled. Kate dug her hands into her pockets for more change and then began to tear at the cup, thinking up life stories for the people coming inside to grab a coffee, a ticket, and huddle alone for a second out of the wind before this next part of their journey. There's a woman hauling two tired kids along on their way to visit their father in prison. There's a former astronaut from the Apollo program who retired quietly one afternoon because he'd learned the whole thing was a fake, and the other astronauts who felt the same had died under strange circumstances. There's a former FBI agent from Minneapolis who knew the man who murdered Wellstone, played racquetball with him on Tuesdays at noon. There was a former Army Ranger who was discharged with Timothy McVeigh and had also been invited to join a special forces demolition team in the States. And one of the maintenance men at the World Trade Center who heard the demolition charges going off in the basement even before any planes had hit. They all knew something too much. They rode the bus to stay away, to stay alive, to keep moving. They were the Illuminati, the goddamn Illuminati, just like her.
Oh, my God. Jeez, God, if that were true. A young woman at the ticket counter cupped her hand over her mouth to announce the loading and departure of the next bus. Kay heard a few of the towns around her stop and decided this was it. She got in line with the astronaut and the rest of the Illuminati, handing her ticket to the bus driver standing at the door. "Just a guitar," said the driver. "Yep." Kate smiled and accepted the stub, then walked up the stairs. She chose a window seat in the middle. Out her bus window, Kate saw Gork and the prison in her country. She saw a girl playing football in the backyard with a pack of boys. She saw a man spill a sack of briquettes on the patio, and a small man on a metal footstool showing his fat, hairy, bare back by reaching to clean the windshield of a muddy black SUV. In the waning daylight, she saw her own reflection in the glass as well, along with a smiling man sitting next to her that could have been her father, but she was too tired to turn to look. She fell asleep with her head bumping down the road on the glass. The sleeping Kate passed Gork and Bork and Tork, as well as Nork, towns with windows lit by TV screens, where Torkians and Norksters listened and learned and smiled and chuckled and fell asleep at last with the faint sound of chuckles in the air. She passed prisons and penitentiaries and correctional facilities and jails and detention centers and lockups and holding tanks and barbed wire, razor wire, brick and stone and rock. The bus took a curve too sharply and banged Kate's head against the window. She pulled her legs up, wrapped her arms around herself to dream of cornfields and baseball and a large white front porch swing. Kate and the other dozing Illuminati passed by stone and brick homes with ponies and princess dolls. They passed garbage-strewn streets with weeping naked babies covered with freezing snot. In Gork, three TVs droned in each home, and each door was locked and connected to a monitoring station with attendants watching computer screens, eating Doritos. Each Gorkian had a likewise secure bank account at the State Bank of Gork with automatic monthly withdrawals going to the Church of Gork and the Gork Volunteer Fire Department. The locks on the bank and the church were likewise similarly monitored. Each shotgun on each lap of each Gorker watching each TV aimed at a window through which a deviant with TVs on his mind might one dyke leap. While underneath the window, after dark, crept the banker and minister and fire chief. The TVs were adorned on stands with lighted candles arrayed around. One cell was turned to squat, another cops, and the third, always, to America's most wanted. On the streets of Gork, police cars, plunder, then rape, then pillage, waited on each corner with lights flashing and sirens wailing. The Gork school board divided the classes into penitentiary and preparatory. In the hospital nursery, some newborns wore bracelets of blue and pink beads, spelling out their names. The local blacksmith fitted the others with miniature handcuffs and shackles, engraved with their register numbers, which would be replaced by larger accoutrements as they entered elementary and secondary school. "To the moon, Alice!" Kate leaned into the aisle to visit with the underground astronaut. "One of these days," Kate smiled wide. That was Kennedy's proclamation, said the man. And 1 year later, John Glenn circling the globe. It's like a Stalin five-year plan, and you always get big Browning points for getting done early. He munched chips from a bag and brushed thin hair with his brow from his brow. You declare it's going to happen, and by God, it happens, right? Kate looked at him. The moon's a giant spaceship, he said. Yeah, really, it is. Alien spies, they can see everything. The astronaut in Earth orbit pulled back into his chair cocoon, closed his eyes, pulled in his arms and legs, and is a turtle in a shell for nap time. Kate turned back to her dark window and looked up at the full moon, aglow, afire, eyes wide open, leering, peeking down at rich and poor alike. The moon looked down on Abby Hoffman and thousands of jails and prisons and penitentiaries in every county of every state in the United States of America. The wily spies on alien moon night duty gazed down through powerful scopes at the way the poor are kept that way and the way the rich keep themselves so well. They took midnight moon spaceship spy satellite night shift lunch break and then peered down upon Illuminati who knew what was what is done, riding night buses to safety. And there's always one more bus to board. Kate dreamed, thought, mooned over her family, her father, mother, brother, all dead. The little kitten Biggie with the oversized paws, the pitch black fur, the wet nose snuggling her brother as they all sat on the porch watching the corn and the stars and the moon. She turned her face against the window, washed it with her tears, remembering the day they were all killed, murdered by the man and the woman in the black SUV. And how the helicopter rained bullets down upon her. And she ran into the corn and slid under the old stalks to hide. She ran. She hid. They died. She lived. They bled and gasped for breath and drowned in their own blood as she crept away on her hands and knees. But she was only a child, not yet nine. But she ran away. She'd left them, the ones who had fed her, dressed her, held her, ate ice cream with her on the sofa, watching Tom Hanks movies. She let them die, and she lived. She let them die, and she lived. That's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs. All the Democrats and journalists are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We hope you'll be back next week and every week. Good night, Mike.
Good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksbrown. Good night, Muhammad Atta. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Revolution Radio.
see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos? The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.